Welcome, you're listening to Dusty Radio 104.5 FM and I'm Mia Ellis and I'm here to introduce Adele Landy, author of the book called Opal Song, a debut first novel with very positive reviews. Welcome Adele, thank you for coming on Dusty Radio.
Oh, hello Maria, good to talk to you again. Thank you for having me on today.
So we're here to tell our listeners about your book and a little bit about yourself. So let's start with our first question. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've always been a bookworm and always loved writing. And in particular, I've always loved the outback and camping. So the first time I went to Coober Pedy, which was in 2007, I believe, I kind of fell in love with the town and always thought that I would be coming back. So thank you for having me at the library next Sunday. I'm very excited to be coming back. I'm a GP. I've worked in psychiatry and palliative care, and that helped me write the book Opal Song. I won a short story competition a few years ago and a prize for translation of short story to film. I think that gave me the push to start writing a bit more seriously. Writing has always been my passion. And I have to say, Opal Song, really, I don't know where it came from. One day I was just sitting down at my desk and I started writing this story about Kari, and it began with the storeroom, which is a very crazy place to start. If you read the book, you'll find that out. And it kind of went from there. So I'm rather delighted that I have actually managed to write a novel. I'm very proud of that.
So can you tell us a little bit about the book? What's that about? You know, the genre and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's a medical fiction. It does have some funny and sad bits. It is about three characters, three doctors who find themselves in a remote opal mining town, and all three have very different reasons for being there. All three have secrets, and some are much darker than the others. It is fundamentally a story about a deep friendship that develops between Kari and Samson and the impact that breaking trust can cause. The story, as you know, is set in Mangere, which is a fictional town, but of course has been very inspired by Coober Pedy. And it also goes to the UK and finally ends up in India. I should warn people that it's not a mainstream romance novel. So if you're a diehard romance fan, you probably won't like the book. So I'm just getting that out there.
Okay. So you say in your book acknowledgements that you were inspired by the town Coober Pedy. How so? And how did you come up with the story?
Yeah. So as I said, I visited in 2007 and I sort of told myself that if I was ever going to write a novel, this would be the place that I would set it. I just thought it was such an interesting town with such a beautiful landscape, and the sunsets in Coober Pedy, just, you know, you don't see that anywhere else in the world, I don't think. So when I started writing the novel, I decided to go back and have another look more with my novelist sort of glasses on and really try and draw out the spirit of the town. But I sort of felt that I hadn't lived in Coober Pedy and I couldn't really call it Coober Pedy. That's the reason why I came up with the name of Mangere. I also felt that it was important to talk about the difficulty that rural towns have in retaining doctors, attracting doctors for many reasons, and that also came out in my story I wrote. I then later on actually started an advanced diploma in professional writing, and I didn't have enough time with all the course commitments and trying to work part-time as a GP. So Opal Song did actually get put away in the basement of my computer for a while, but last year I got it out, polished it off, and set it finally into the world in November.
You mentioned opal magic, and this seems to influence the events of the story. Tell us about opal magic, and how do you come up with the title Opal Song?
Yes, well, I learned when I visited Coober Pedy that the reason why opals develop is that Coober Pedy is actually set on the bed of an ancient sea, and when many millions of years ago, when that ancient sea sort of dried up, there were shells and there was sort of debris of the seabed left behind. And when that all sort of evaporated away, that became silica gel. And then what happened was other compounds sort of got entrapped in the that sediment, and Eventually you sort of form opals when, you know, eventually the sort of earth settles on top. And it got me thinking, because I then looked on the internet and I found that there are lots of different opal stones that are given particular qualities. People are selling their opals for giving you, you know, energy, helping resolve love, all this sort of thing. And I thought, wow, that's almost like the moods of the seas sort of been trapped in these gemstones. And that sort of gave me the idea that, like, it's like magic, really, a quiet kind of magic. I also sort of felt that I'm wanting to go back to Cooperpedia, and I keep reading about people just wanting to return to Cooperpedia. It's almost like there's a call. It's almost like the sirens of the deep calling the sailors, you know. And so therefore I thought, well, it's almost like a song. And I actually sort of mentioned that in the story about Opal Song. So that's how I got the title.
And what other research did you also do to write the book?
I was very lucky to know a cardiothoracic surgeon, and there's one major scene in there that actually involves Kari, the hero, the main character, being in a theatre. I also happen to know quite a few cardiologists, and unfortunately the cardiologist, Richard, he's sort of not a very nice person, so apologies to anybody who happens to know a cardiologist. It wasn't intentional, but anyway, the cardiologist that I know happened to grow up in a boarding school in the UK, so I drew on that knowledge. As I've mentioned, I've been to Cooperpedia now twice. I've visited the hospital. My husband is a medical specialist, even gave a talk at the hospital. I also visited Southern India in 2013 and visited the Christian Medical College in Vellore, which is in Tamil Nadu,
oh, wow,
in the southern part of India. And that was unbelievable. And I definitely feel the best part of the book is when I'm in India. It was just such an amazing place. Apart from Cooperpedia, Cooperpedia is an amazing place too.
It's pretty unique. Why did you call the town Manguri and not Cooperpedia?
As I said before, I felt a bit fraudulent really calling, you know, actually naming the town Cooperpedia, because I haven't lived there, and I feel that really capturing the spirit of a place, you probably should live there for a while. But I hope I have caught the spirit of the town, even so. And Manguri actually isn't that far away from Cooperpedia. So I thought anyone who knows Cooperpedia would probably go, oh, yeah, she's writing about Cooperpedia, but she just wasn't quite confident enough to go there. And also I changed a few things around, you know, like I have a dugout at the foothill of the hospital, and I'm sure there's not any there where it is. That's amazing. So That's what happened there.
Okay. Tell us how you came up with your characters. Do you see anything of yourself in them?
Yeah, definitely. Kari, the main character, she is on the autism spectrum. I don't know how much television you get to watch, but there's a character, there's a show called The Good Doctor, and it's a doctor who is on the spectrum. And I'm kind of predated. I wrote all this way before any of these shows and books came out, but I was lucky to sit next to a lady doctor when I attended a conference many years ago, and we'd just gone to a talk by a psychologist who specialises in adult Asperger's syndrome or autism spectrum disorder. And she was saying to me that as a GP, she is a very successful doctor despite being on the spectrum. And I was really flabbergasted by that, because a lot of my job involves being empathic and responding to people's needs, you know, in a sympathetic manner. And she was saying that she had learned to act, and she could just, you know, treat people at times dispassionately, but people really respected her. She was very knowledgeable and very intelligent. And when I started writing Kari, this female doctor who was very pleasant and obviously very intelligent just sort of dropped out onto the page in the form of Kari. I then went on and sent her up to Cooperpedia, or Manguri, should I call it, where she meets Samson. And Samson was informed a bit by a surgeon that I was lucky to work with over 26 years ago now, at the Women's Insurance Hospital, who was one of the most kind and caring clinicians I've ever had the privilege of working with. And I found that his qualities came out in Samson. So It's just really interesting how you do draw on people you know, and there's aspects of yourself. Sometimes I think I am a bit like Kari. I tend to be a bit direct at times with people. Richard, however, he's a narcissistic personality. I am very pleased to say I don't know anybody really like him. Perhaps there's a few people I've met in my time who are a little bit overly confident, but he was just a lot of fun, but as well quite difficult to write because he's not like anybody I know.
Did you have any problems to overcome writing this book?
Yes, probably a lack of time was a big one. That was the main thing I struggled with. And also I have written more academic articles in the past and teaching. So novel writing is something that's completely different. That was the main obstacles. Perhaps also a lack of confidence in yourself at times. I'm sure all writers struggle with this, even though I was having a ball writing it and finding it all very interesting. You really wonder if other people are going to enjoy it as much as you are having fun. But that's just one of the risks of being a writer, and you can't really please everybody. That's the truth.
So what do you like about Cupidity?
Oh, good question. So many things. I love the fact it's so different to any place I've ever been before. It's such an interesting landscape. It's often likened to being on the moon. The piles of mullock as you're driving in, just in the middle of nowhere. And the fact the town, it's just such an honest town. People are just so friendly. I love the fact that, you know, you've got not very far to drive, and you're in amongst the breakaways, just absolutely astonishing territory, you know, beautiful hills, the lovely colours, the sunsets are just magnificent. I like the history, learning about the multiculturalism, the fact that when, you know, mining first started, people from all over the world arrived. I read somewhere that the dugouts actually became popular because of returned soldiers from World War One realising that it was far more comfortable living underground than above ground. So even that little bit of history is just fascinating. The fact that the opalitis that gets into people's bloodstream, I can imagine, yeah. I could be like that if I wasn't a GP in Adelaide. What else could I say? Just such a great place, such a unique town. I don't like the dust much, and I have to say the flies.
Oh, well, that was the question leading up after. Really? What don't you like about Cupidity?
Yeah, well, I think the flies would have to be number one. But I have, when I came back up in, you know, more recent visit in 2014, I have to say it was wintertime, they weren't too bad. So I suspect you do get a bit used to it.
So do you have any other novels in progress?
Yes, I have actually two other main novels in progress. COVID has put one on hold for the moment because it's based on my great uncle who survived Gallipoli and the Somme. And I was hoping to go to Belgium to go and research his life a bit more. He won a military medal. I know exactly where he received it. I found a diary which was actually written by one of the chaps who was in his field unit. He was actually a stretcher bearer. So I'm trying to research his life more. I've been to the War Memorial. I'm getting there. I know exactly how the story is going. This one I've actually planned a lot more, so I have a bit more of a framework to work my way through. But COVID put an end to that temporarily. I'm also writing another story which is set in the mid-north of South Australia. Both of these books are not going to be medical fictions, by the way. And that one is a mother-daughter relationship that does actually end up in the Fiji, of all places. So I'm going to Fiji in September, which I'm very excited about, to go and start researching that part of the story. So hopefully I'll have something out in the next 18 months. You never know.
Oh, very nice. So tell us about your forthcoming visit to Cupidity, and do you have any other book talks planned?
Yes, I'm coming up next weekend. I'm going to be giving a talk at the library. I think we're going to be doing an interview again. I'll have some books for sale and for signing. I'm very excited. I'll be there at 2 o'clock on Sunday the 17th. I also will be going to the hospital to visit the hospital. My husband, who is a psychiatrist, will be giving a talk at the hospital. So that's great, great for us to do. I hope to do all the things that you do when you go to Kupiti, go on the mining tours, go out to the breakaways. And I'm even thinking about actually going out to Manguri and just having my photo taken next to the Manguri sign, just to say this is the township of Manguri.
Well, that sounds...
So I'm really excited. I can't wait to come up again. It's going to be great fun.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you, Adele, for joining us today. And we're looking very forward for your visit.
Well, my great pleasure. I look forward to seeing you in person.